from the mega city metropolis of Toronto. I had to think about that. And the turquoisey oceans of Atlantis.
Ooh.
It is the Cave of Solitude. I am Lady J. You are
Eric Anthony.
And we're back, baby. Back.
It's been a while since your lovely tones have been on the podcast.
Clearly, I'm a little rusty. I don't even know what we say in the beginning anymore.
Do you remember how to do this?
We'll see.
Well, this is a podcast. And we talk.
And so when do I do it? Now?
Now.
Okay.
Then
when do you do it?
Now. So this is the Cave of Solitude, like Daph J said. Lady J, your comic book and pop culture podcast. In case you're wondering what you're listening to, we are going to do one of our special classic movie reviews. And Daph J has not seen the movie we're going to talk about. So she is going to host the show, and I am going to be the guest. Correct?
I guess that's how it works.
We'll
figure it out as we go along.
Lady J, people have missed you. Take it away. It's all you.
Hi, guys.
Where have you been?
I've been sick.
Where else have you been?
Under the sheets.
I think were you dead? I'm trying to think of the last time they heard from you. Could have been when we went to Italy. It's been a minute.
No.
It's been a minute, Daph. Seriously.
Really?
Yeah. It's been a minute.
I'm okay. I'm alive and well. I'm still kicking.
So in the new year, 2019, you will be back. Full force.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need you back.
Maybe I'll read or something. I don't know.
Random thoughts from Daph J. Those were some good episodes we had.
Those are fun.
People love you.
A little bit on the stressful side because I don't know what to expect.
I love it.
It's good. It's fun. I did make a little appearance. It's fine. I made a little appearance in Martin's show.
That's right. So if people want to have been wondering where Daph J has been, she was on other people's podcasts instead of her own podcast.
Just a brief little insert.
No, it wasn't. You know what? I listened back to that episode. It's on the Fastball Special for those who are listening to us for the first time. That's our good friend Martin Slam Duncan's podcast. We did a top five inspirational movies, and Daph J was joining us as like side commentary. And I gotta say, it was a really cool feature to have someone there who
didn't really have an opinion that needed to be respected, but.
Like you brought out or asked questions for the other people who had like movies that they were listing, because you didn't have your own list, but you chimed in at appropriate times and it added like a little bit of color commentary. It was cool. I liked it.
Oh,
yeah,
thanks.
Unbiasedly.
I thought you were gonna say it was like the voice of God or something.
No, not quite. The voice of an angel.
God is a woman. Anyway, yeah. Okay, I'm back. I'm here.
You're back. And we've got...
Excuse the clearing of the throat. I'm literally at the tail end of this thing.
Yes.
It took me out for a little bit.
But you don't get sick.
I...
You're like Batman.
Hit it. Go.
So before we get into this week's... Or this episode's subject, I just want to let the listener know we will be back doing our Cave of Solitude roadshow very soon, and you will have a microphone in your face in a couple of days as we travel back to our home away from home. And that's all I'm going to say. So be ready.
I'm ready.
All right. We're going to have a great time.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what are we talking about today?
So you did something foolish today.
Why is it foolish? Why do you say it's foolish? You didn't see the movie.
Didn't have to see the movie to know that it was a bad idea to go and waste time there. But to each their own.
Okay.
And you know what this does? It enables and encourages conversation.
Yep. Fun, fluffy conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're talking about today is obviously the Aquaman movie review. You refused.
I'm saying everything I'm saying now, not knowing a thing about it. Mm. I just knew that I didn't want to watch it.
What was it? What made you say, I am not... Is it Aquaman? In particular, you say, like, I am not watching an Aquaman movie. That's my limit. I will watch Thunder Gods. I will watch Avengers. I will watch Ant People. I will not watch an Aquaman. Is that what it is for you?
I like Aquaman.
Okay.
I know people always talk trash about Aquaman. Mm-hmm. Like, he's, like, the leaguer that doesn't really, like, do anything. But he's crazy good in the comics. I'm a fan.
Mm-hmm.
However, I don't, like, I wasn't impressed with the introduction of this character in the Justice League movie. I wasn't impressed with that movie at all.
At all? Like, not a short?
No.
Okay.
And so I had already kind of made up my mind that this wasn't something that I was going to get into. Because I didn't like the portrayal of him. I didn't like, he sounded stupid when he spoke. Like, it was just not, it wasn't for me. I knew I didn't want to do it.
Right.
Fair enough. Yet, knowing all of that, you're like, I think I'm going to give this a shot.
I had to watch it.
Well, who had a gun to your head?
No one had a gun to my head. Is that I really like, for me, and we've had these conversations in, like, just for fun, talking on our own when we're not recording. So I want to start by saying, if this is your first time listening to this, to the Cave of Solitude, thank you for listening. And every episode could be someone's first episode.
And was I supposed to say in the beginning?
No.
You're making me feel bad here.
No, not at all. Not at all. I don't ever say that, actually. But just going into this review as, like, a buyer beware sort of thing, I'm not going to spoil this movie the way we would normally spoil a movie that we've both seen.
Mm.
Not because I expect you to watch it, but it just came out today. Like, I watched it.
But what if I want to know spoilers?
Sure. If you want to know spoilers, I will let them know, hey, guys, spoilers. It's coming. But just for those who are listening to the first time and going into this review, please know that growing up, like, the podcast is named Cave of Solitude because I have a strong affinity towards Batman and Superman. Growing up, that's the inspiration for the name of the show, Batcave for Solitude. So there's going to be, I'm biased towards DC from a child.
Would you say that the beginnings of this podcast, your bias, has it maintained itself? Do you think it's changed? Has it gotten stronger? Like, from the beginning to now, has that evolved a little bit?
Definitely changed. I've never been, like, even when the podcast started, I had a good, like, mix of things that I'd be willing to read and stuff that I was, like, on the verge of reading or in the process of reading. But I would say at this point, I am not, full-on DC, this is my thing. I like DC. I still love Superman, Batman, and, you know, all of, you know, the comic book world that it is. But I do have a much stronger appreciation for other publishing, other styles of comics, and in direct competition, Marvel Comics. I understand why, growing up, there were so many more people who were Marvel Comics fans.
Do you think evolving of this,
mm-hmm,
is due to personal growth and appreciation, or the fact that DC or DCU has kind of missed the mark more often than not?
Both.
Okay.
Both. So I just wanted to say that so whatever opinions I'm giving, they will be coming, like, just know where I'm coming from as a person who's been a lifelong fan. But getting back to what I was saying all that to say this. I feel when it comes to the current state of DC Comics as well as the DC Universe, I feel that the reliance and dependency on the strength of a character like Batman has been the thorn in their side. Not the thorn in their side, but their downfall.
I disagree with that, but okay. I see your point. I know your point.
We've had this argument. But it's not to say that Batman sucks. It's to say that DC sucks for thinking that Batman's the only good thing they've got. That's the argument I'm making.
Yeah, I know. I get it.
So because of that, I feel the rest of what they have to offer has not been highlighted or done in a way that really showcases all of the mythology they got. So when a movie like Wonder Woman comes out and it's like they've never done this before, finally they're branching out to showcase something else. Mm-hmm. It's exciting. And when Wonder Woman turned out to be the best of the bunch that they had put out so far, it made me think, like, I bet Aquaman will be surprisingly good. If Wonder Woman, on the cusp of, or on the heels of BVS and Suicide Squad, no one expected Wonder Woman to be any good, but it turned out to be very enjoyable. So it's like, I bet you Aquaman is going to surprise us, because we're now heading into Atlantis and real mythology and...
Did you feel this way even after watching the Justice League movie?
The Justice League...
Or did you have faith in this character that it would be developed in a dignified manner?
Yeah, yeah. I had faith in the potential of the character, because it's like, they're not going to make this... There's no way that you can make this Batman-like. You can mix a little bit of Batman in other parts of the DCU, especially with like Superman and Batman, because they're like the Trinity. But this is like, this is a whole new, this is going into the ocean. This is going into a whole different.
This is a whole other universe.
Right, in a way, in a way, right? So we're going to uncharted waters, pun intended. So it made me be like, I'm happy that they're taking a chance with a character who's traditionally silly and ridiculous, as Aquaman has been made to be, in a way. Like, it's always, like you said, the butt end of the joke. So I said, yeah, I'm going to give this a shot. I'm going to give it, if it's respectable reviews, I'm going to give it a shot.
So what reviews did you come across that were respectable, even after you and I discussed that I would not go? And how did that make you feel?
I felt lonely. I'm like, oh man, I lost my partner to half of these movies. Like, we still got all the Marvel movies and stuff like that you'll watch with me. But I'm like,
did you feel betrayed?
No, because you've cut after Justice League. You kind of were like, I'm done.
Now, do you respect this, or does this make you feel like?
No, you know why I respect it? Because you like, between Marvel and DC, you're even more of a DC leaning fan in this genre of.
But what?
Comic books.
But does that make me snobbish?
No, I think it makes you... someone could say, oh, why is she like that? It's your taste. Like, it's your money. You're voting with your dollar. You're saying, I'm not watching these movies anymore until they're good. Until I really, really feel that I'm going to get my money's worth and not leave the theater being pissed off. Every time I leave the theater, these movies are pissing me off 90% of the time.
Right.
Why am I going to continue doing that to myself?
My point exactly.
So, yeah, I respect. I understand. But I was just.
But
like,
I want people to understand, to know what it is that you thought about.
About you.
Well, yeah, I'm interested.
Oh, I mean, I still would.
Because you didn't take no for an answer.
I want your company. It's just like I know you don't like doing this, but I still want you with me because I just want you, like, just the same way you'd be like, can you watch this show with me, even though I may have no interest in watching it? I'll be like, all right, she wants me to watch it with her. I'll give it a chance. Sort of thing. And a lot of times I end up liking the stuff that you recommend. So I was thinking, maybe she'll like it because she likes the nature and the animals and you know, this isn't going to upset her as much because you don't have as much stake invested in the character emotionally like you do with a Batman or a Superman. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm like, ah, come, she'll probably be pleasantly surprised.
So what reviews did you come across that were that kind of made you
swim to the movie? I see your hand. People don't see it, but you're like doing this fish motion. Yeah. So the reviews were mixed, but the ones that I look to are, they come from like the IGN and the people who understand the genre. Like, I wouldn't expect New York Times to give a review necessarily.
What about Rotten Tomatoes? Is that more of like an audience?
Rotten Tomatoes is like a collection of everybody's reviews thrown in one. And then if a movie gets 6 out of 10, that's considered a positive review, even though it's a 6 out of 10. So if 90% of the people gave it a 6 out of 10, it'll get 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's how it works. But if you go to like IGN and they give it an 8 or 7.5, you know, like, okay, these are people who understand comics or they're in that realm of fandom. So this is more closer to my perspective. So if they gave it a 9, likelihood is I'm going to like it.
So you came across enough material to say, you know what?
Give it a shot.
This is doing quite well.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go for it.
Yes. And the consensus of what I gathered was this is a fun popcorn adventure of a movie ride.
For who?
For moviegoers. It's a superhero, fun popcorn movie that's, you know, got an adventure to it. I'm like... I'm good with that, if that's what it is. Hopefully it's better for somebody like me who likes this sort of thing.
Maybe so what time of the day did you go and watch this movie?
So today was the last day of work before the Christmas holidays. Mm-hmm. We got out of work just after noon, and there was a showing in the early afternoon, so I went to an early showing on opening day.
And how was that? Was there a big crowd?
Really? It was pretty full. Yeah, and it was in the reserves.
Oh, I guess because everyone cuts out early. Yeah. School's done.
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
So it was kind of like the thing to be doing, I guess, right now. I was shocked at how many people kept strolling in closer to
when... Did you struggle to get a seat?
No, because it's reserved. As I bought it, I picked where I wanted to sit, so I got exactly where I wanted. No one sat beside me because I sat, like, pretty close to the front half of the bottom of the theater. Mm. I'm fine sitting there if I'm by myself. So I was there, and the one thing going into, like, before I even give the review, there's too many commercials, because the showtime was, you know, 12:30, and then...
When did it finally start?
It started, like, at 1, man.
Yeah.
The previews began 15 minutes in. I watched 15 minutes worth of commercials with the lights out, and then the trailers began.
Yeah.
And then it was like...
It's like by then half of your popcorn is gone.
Gone.
Yeah.
And cold. And it's just like, this is... I've been sitting here too long seeing the same, a lot of the same commercials or shows that are like, what makes you think I'm going to get an American Express card? Like, why are they showing these commercials? So, but it's not that I have a problem with going to the movies and, oh, I don't want any commercials. But I've already paid for the ticket. Like, let's get this show on the road, you know? I've got the Coke already. You don't got to give me a Coke commercial.
Right, right.
So, yeah. And I'm not going to bank with Scotia. It's always a Scotia bank. I get it. You guys already own the theater. So, yeah. That's my little tirade about the commercials.
Was there any chatterboxes in the theater? Were they respectable? Was it a respectable audience?
I was concerned because I think I had a group of high school students that came in behind me right before the trailers began. Mm. And, you know, I felt my seat. Going like this as people were walking through, because I was already leaned back, but it was fine. It was fine. No problems.
Okay.
It was okay. I didn't need you there.
That irritates me.
I know it
does. I even got hot now. I feel like taking off my robe.
Full disclosure, Daphne's in her PJ suit and a robe.
I'm so on holiday mode, you don't even know.
Yes.
That's it. I punched out, and I'm gone till next year.
Gone till January. I'm gone for December.
So you watched this movie.
I watched this movie.
Can you just tell us, how did it make you feel?
Silly.
Really?
Yeah.
Silly good or silly bad?
Not silly good.
Not silly good.
No. No.
Why? So what happened? Did you like it? Can we just skip to the end? Did you like it?
I didn't like it. I didn't enjoy it. I had moments where there was moments of promise, but...
Like, how much through the movie where you're like, oh, it's good, it's good. Wait a minute. And then it was downhill from there. Like, was it about an hour in? You're like, oh, this is pretty decent. Or was it like an immediate, like, what? Happening.
It's funny, you know, I enjoyed the opening narration of him, like his voiceover explaining like his childhood and his parents meeting each other and sort of that forbidden love that she's from another world and they were never supposed to have met, but they're like star-crossed lovers sort of thing. And you read the Aquaman Into the Trench from the New 52.
Mm-hmm.
Remember they had the dog? They found a dog. They rescued a dog in that book. Him and Mira were living in Amnesty Bay in the Light Tower, and they had a pet dog. So Arthur...
They had a kid too, didn't they?
They end up having a kid in the comics, but not in that series.
Oh,
not in that one.
I don't remember.
But when his father rescues his mother, Atlanta, I think her name is, who was played by Nicole Kidman, pretty big name. They have a puppy, golden retriever puppy.
Aww.
It's really sweet. And the in the movie that was like some of my favorite parts, because the puppy's scared of the fact like she doesn't really like me because she's not sure of me.
Uh-huh.
So he's like a little trepidatious of her, but then in the next flash forward scene, the puppy's grown up and he's like sleeping beside them on the couch as they're like she's reading a story to little Arthur, and it's like that pull from the comic books was cute because you really felt like you were in the same sort of room designed from the book.
Does the puppy make it at the
puppy
end?
Yeah, nothing happens.
Okay, that's how I just want to get that. So can I ask you a question?
Yeah, yeah.
You saying all this about the puppy and the thing and then whatnot, do you and the fact that Arthur's origin is explained, do you think that's integral to these movies, or do you think it's redundant? Like, I understand that it's not just going to be comic people that watch this movie. It's to reach the masses.
Right.
But do you think, though, that it's like, you know what? I mean, if you don't already know, just keep up.
Right.
Do you feel like it's a little bit like, I know this, and to have those little, like, Easter eggs, or there's a puppy, or a golden retriever, like, do you think those things are integral or are needed to make a movie good? Because clearly they had it, and it didn't really, it doesn't sound like it made much of a difference.
I don't think they need to, like, the Easter eggs are nice for fans, like the guys and girls that are in the know. So are you referring to an origin story or just comic book pulls?
No, I'm talking about, well, both, but my original question is, do you think having to retell this person's back story is, do you think it's needed? Do you think it enhances or it kills the story?
I think if it was, when too much time is spent on that, it kills it.
Because I think there's been so many, for example, so many Spider-Man movies. It's like,
right.
I think everybody already knows.
Right. And that's what was cool about the Spider-Verse. I know you haven't seen it. In chatting with Adam Chapman on his show, I would like to review the Spider-Man movie on this one. But on that one, we both commented on the fact of they wrapped it up so quick. They're like, okay, so here's the thing. I'm a spider, I got bit by a spider, this and this. Remember this happened? And yeah, oh yeah, this happened too. Like, they're referring to movies that you've seen.
Right.
And like, so you know the story.
Uh-huh.
Like, they go through it in about 20 seconds, 25 seconds.
But do you think they
seconds.
Were able to do that because it was animated?
Yes.
And present it like as a comedy type of, like a comical angle as opposed to when it's live action.
Yes.
It's supposed to make you feel like a person.
Sure, sure. I think it definitely benefited from that. And I will say, before I continue any further, this movie, had it been animated, would have been great.
Really?
It would have been a great animated movie.
So is that why you use the word silly to describe it?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes. Like, I'm watching it, and I'm trying to find things to be positive about. Because there's always something to be positive about. And they're getting a lot of things, like, they're getting a lot of things right, okay? Like, they're sticking to the source material, they're not shying away from the character's history and the world of Atlantis and all the different things about it, but it's like, this looks better if it was animated, and it'd be more like...
Hey man, DC does great animated movies.
And that was the thing, right, is that they did the Throne of Atlantis movie, which mm-hmm. is basically this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And they included all of the Justice League, and it told you a history
about... The Justice League was in this one?
No.
Oh.
But in that Throne of Atlantis, it was a Justice League movie, but it really focused and zeroed in on Aquaman.
Right, yes.
And it gave you a history and a backstory within an hour and 20 minutes that worked. Whereas this one, it's not to say that the origin story didn't work. They didn't spend too much time on it, and I like the fact that this is how I have powers. My mother's from here. My parents were star-crossed lovers, but then my mom had to leave. But it was when they came, the first conflict and the first action scene, when they came to get Arthur's mom and bring her back to Atlantis because she was in an set up for an arranged marriage that she was avoiding because now she had found her lover on land. She said, I have to go back or else we're always going to be in danger. So that's what separates the family. So I'm like, okay. But as soon as I saw them, like the emissaries from Atlantis, like the warriors from Atlantis come to bring her back, I was out of it.
Really?
It took me out of it.
Was it the effects? Was it the...
The effects. The suit, the effect. You know what it was? Okay. I was trying to think of I'm going to do a lot of comparisons to other things to help people know what they're... In my opinion, what you're getting, what to expect from this movie. So, you know how sometimes you watch movies or television shows? Remember when we were kids and you have your sitcoms? Now, see if you follow me here for a second. And this isn't in any way comparing one show to the other as far as the content. But the Cosby Show, right? The way it's filmed and the way the camera, like the filter of it, mm-hmm. is similar to Full House. How the character, how the people, the actors look on your TV screen. That filter. It's the Who's the Boss filter. It's the Full House filter. Cosby Show. They all have that same sort of look to it as you're watching it. But then... Like Frasier and Perfect Strangers and Family Matters have a different sheen as you're watching it. It's not as bright. It's not as, like, you don't see the clothes the same. Do you get what I'm trying to say?
Yes, I do know what you're saying.
There's, like, that filter of the camera lens that these shows are shot in and these shows are shot in. So, yeah. Like,
it's almost like it's a little bit more real.
Yeah, and the other one feels more studio made.
Right.
Do you get what I'm saying?
I do get what you mean.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm using that as a comparison only because I used to see shows. I'm like,
if anything, I don't like this show, but I feel like Friends mm-hmm. in its earlier seasons had that little, like you said, that sheen, mm-hmm. but then after it became a little more crisp.
Okay.
Like it was a little bit more like everyone's hair was a little shinier and everyone looked a little bit more like, I don't know. There was something about the beginnings of that same show mm-hmm. where it looked like, forgive the comparison, but it was almost a little more animated.
Yeah.
As opposed to a little later on, it became a little bit more tangible, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, we watch the Cosby Show a lot, and you know, like, how it looks, how the characters look sitting on the couch. Mm-hmm. And then when you think of, like, Family Matters, mm-hmm. it's a different filter mm-hmm. on the mm-hmm. thing, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So, I say that to say this. I would compare the way the film looks on the screen, not the movie itself, but like Captain America Winter Soldier has the same sort of filter that The Dark Knight Returns has to it. That sort of feel.
A little grainy?
Yes. Okay. Yes. You know what I mean? Okay. And then you watch like Guardians of the Galaxy and Thor Ragnarok mm-hmm. are similar. Mm-hmm. They have that feel to it. So this, when I'm watching it and you get to Atlantis... It's the same filter and feel that you had watching Phantom Menace. You get what I'm saying?
Very artificial.
Yeah. Very... It's like overdone.
Right.
It's like, I know this is fake. I know this is ridiculous.
So you couldn't even get into the story because there was a disconnect.
Yeah, it's too much.
Okay.
It's like it has such a sheen, such a filter, such a, like, CGI-ness to it that it's like, this is so fake. Mm. Whereas when you watch some other superhero films, they're all ridiculous. They're all fake, but like...
Well, Guardians of the Galaxy, but it looks majestic and it looks marvelous.
It's like that raccoon's real.
Yeah.
Silly, like, she's green... But she looks like a real green person. I can't explain it.
Or the stars look pretty as opposed to just... I know what you mean. I get it.
It's like when you watched Green Lantern and they, like his suit. It's like, what are you... Are you kidding me? Yeah. That's Owa.
Well, that's the track record. Are you really that surprised? Are you really that disappointed?
No, and as I'm watching it, I'm thinking to myself, what is it that... They don't get it. Those are the questions I'm asking when I'm watching it because mm-hmm. you listen, Marvel and DC will always be compared. That's just the way it is. When WWF and WCW will always get compared because they were each other's counterparts. Mm-hmm. These two are the direct competitors of each other with superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I compare them because these guys are showing you how it's done. You've seen them do it for 20 movies. Mm-hmm. Why are you struggling so hard to see what works? And it's almost, I don't know if it's a Warner Brothers thing. I don't know what it is. But it's like, this, it felt like Phantom Menace meets the Mummy. Original Brendan Fraser Mummy.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Which was, when you, if Brendan Fraser Mummy came out today, it'd be like a B movie. But in 2001 or 2000, whenever it came out, it stood what it needed to be. So it's that mixed with Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, Indiana Jones, with Green Lantern.
That sounds like a hot mess.
So this is another comparison. If Justice League is the Transformers, this is G.I. Joe.
So says Eric Anthony.
Do you get what I'm trying to say? And I enjoyed all of those movies for what they were. I enjoyed Transformers for what it was, and G.I. Joe, like, these are movies based off of
which
toy lines.
Which Transformers, though? Because they just got more ridiculous. I mean, they were bleeding oil.
Yeah.
Like, I was impressed with the first one. The first one was good.
But
at some point, like, then they had teeth and they had dreads. Like,
it's
it was, like
it's
weird.
All, you know how it's, like, all bombast in those Transformer movies?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, like, it's big. The machines are robots. Hey, that's cool. They're robots. Cool. The Transformers are on the screen. And it's, like, oh, cool. There's the Justice League fighting together. But it's not as good as it could be, like,
okay,
the Transformer animated
cartoon. So it seemed very synthetic.
Perfect word.
I read.
Perfect word.
Once in a while.
Totally, like, yeah, totally synthetic.
It was like fake boobs on a hot chick.
Yeah, like, but really, like, these are so fake.
I don't know, do people like fake boobs? I don't know.
I think most guys don't.
They look good from a distance.
But it's,
but
like,
they don't feel right. But in this sense, you didn't even like the look of them.
The look right
How
away.
How did this take a turn? Moving on.
It's like, yeah, yeah.
So, okay, you didn't like the look of it. Now, what about the story?
So, the story, the story was okay. I saw what they were trying to do. It was like a Return of the King story, Lord of the Rings, where the rightful king needed to establish himself in order to set things right and prevent a war that was occurring. But too many pieces, like every other DC movie, this one has, they're trying to throw everything they can about that character at the wall. Because it's almost like we don't know if we're ever going to do it again, so we have to include Black Mantis. We have to include his brother Orm. We have to do this. We have, like...
So it was oversaturated. They didn't pace themselves.
Totally. It's like, just tell
one story.
I think
that's DC's kryptonite.
Totally.
I think they try to overdo and do too much, where it's like, it's not done properly.
Not done properly.
It's like they're so insecure with their own masterpiece that they're like, just throw it in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because if it didn't do well here, at least we had this in there. And if that didn't work, then at least there's this. And I feel like that's just, it's so, they just seem so insecure with themselves when they do that.
And it's like, you're right. That's a great way to put it. And it's like an insecurity based off of, look how good our stuff is. Like, we got all this good stuff. Mm-hmm. And we're going to put all, it's like Spider-Man 3. And it just was the worst.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it's like, is it the Sandman? Is it the Harry Osborn? Or is it Venom? Like, what story are you telling me? Which one matters?
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, none of them do.
Mm-hmm.
That's, and DC, I feel like, is it...
But was that because of storytelling? Or was that because of the effects? Was that because of the character development? Or the way it was presented? You know what I mean? I think there's different things that factor into the its lack.
It was a combination of everything, and this was the one movie where, as CGI as it needs to be, because you're going to Atlantis, and it's like a mythological, magical world sort of thing, like a almost like a Asgard. You also don't want it to feel like George Lucas's prequels, where it's like, that's not like, yeah. I want the dirt of the Millennium Falcon. Shiny. Yeah. It's like,
yeah.
You know, in the return, the Attack of the Clones, that opening sequence where they're on the pods,
yeah.
And it was like that. It was like that feeling, that filter. And it's just like, no, I want this Aquaman to have the gold, you know,
crusty type armor.
The what's it called? The chainmail. Uh-huh. But I want it to look like it's heavy.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see chainmail. Yeah. I don't want it to be like so. This is the one time where they went super bright. Super bright.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Like, this movie is not like the. They go from the extremes.
Is that a good thing? I'm trying to find some good things.
No, it didn't. It wasn't better for it.
No.
No. Why? Because it was overdone. It was overdone to the point, like you said, it's synthetic. Like Dolph Lundgren was in it.
Who?
Dolph Lundgren.
Who's that?
Ivan Drago.
Who's that? Oh.
From Rocky.
Yeah, yeah.
He was one of the people from Atlantis, which he looked the part. Like, Willem Dafoe was in it. He looks amphibian-like. He looks like he's a fish person. You know, Nicole Kidman is in it. So you've got, like, I'm not saying Dolph Lundgren's a great actor, but you've got people in the cast that they can carry a script.
Man, I said it before, I'll say it again, DC is trying to just play catch up, and I think that's their major problem.
But this movie's coming out 6 years since, or 5 years since Man of Steel. But Daff, the dialogue was cringeworthy. Like, cringeworthy. There was a couple times where I squirmed in my chair, I'm like, are you for real?
I feel sorry that it was so disappointing.
But the I think it's the expectation, because this is a movie that is fun. Like, throw popcorn at your face. Don't take anything seriously. They're fish people.
Mm.
But then you're like, oh, that's like, again, that's like Anakin and Padme type of nonsense we're dealing with. Like, don't we know better by now?
Oh no.
And I kind of defend those movies at times, but this was like,
yeah, you do.
And I know,
I don't, I've written them off my
right, but I'm like, oh, this is 2018. Like, that is just so telegraphed. And like, there was one spoiler, he reunites with his mother at a portion in this movie, right?
Uh-huh.
Because the notion is she's been executed for being a traitor, for having a bastard son.
They killed her?
That's what he's led to believe, and that's what everyone thinks. Because, you know, in the trenches, they send her to the trench, and the trench monsters or whatever execute her. He has to go on this journey throughout the world, and they do a lot of this, like, now we're here, now we're there, all of this, like, sort of, this is where we're low. You know how they did it in the Avengers, where they were showing them in all these different locations?
Yeah, in nowhere, and then this
and
that way. Yeah.
And now Wakanda. Now
they did that in Star Wars, too.
Yeah, so this one did it over the top. Constantly. It was too much.
Maybe that's just the new thing.
No, it doesn't work. It was too much. It was too much.
That's funny. It doesn't work.
So he ends up going there, and his thing is like, you know, in like Lord of the Rings, the sword, whoever has the right to hold this sword is the rightful king, and they can control armies, whatever. Yes. So he's got to go and get the trident that was from the proper king.
Yeah.
That's from the comic book. So they did a lot of stuff that's like, yeah, that's from the comics. That's good. Mm-hmm. They're paying homage to it properly. And Jeff Johns, who wrote those books, was the writer of the movie. So it's like, okay, here's a guy who knows.
Yeah.
He's really in the know.
Okay.
He's qualified, right? So he finds his mother, long story short, or short story long. He sees her, and she says, you know, nobody has been able to go there where the trident has been protected and where the last king of Atlantis has left it, because none of them have been the rightful king. even I can't go there, and I'm the queen. And he's like, well, I'm no king. That's it. Well, I don't want to be the king. I'm no king. She goes, we don't need a king anymore. We need something more than a king. What does he do? What's that? Nicole Kidman's line? A hero. That's literally the back and forth exchange. You're just like, I'll admit, I cussed. I was like, what the? I'm like, for real? Because this was a long line of cheesy dialogue, and I couldn't take it no more. Because even the portions of the movie where he's a teenager being trained by, you know, his Atlantean guardian,
right,
that was sworn to protect him from his mother, who's kind of like, he's doing it behind the back of the king because he swore an oath to Arthur's mother. He's training him on the beach. Like, it's beautiful. Like, the scenery is gorgeous. And you're like, wow, this is going to be good. Like, they're on the beach. Like, it's like one of those... like when Bruce is training.
Yeah.
So he's showing him how to use like the trident, and he's showing
like
him how
Mr.
to use
Mr. Miyagi and
yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, right? It's like that. But then he gets into this like he goes into a total Anakin crybaby, like, you killed me, they killed my mother. They killed my mother because she had me? Like, I was like, for real? That's how they're letting him deliver the lines, and it's with Willem Dafoe that the lines are going back? Like, I'll teach you how to do that when you learn how to use the scepter, or not the scepter, the trident. Like, I'm just like, oh, come on, this has got to be better. They got, it was like...
So the script was bad.
Dialogue was horrible.
The effects were bad.
The effects were cool if you really like CGI.
Do you think, how did you watch this movie? Did you watch it in regular? Did you watch it in 3D?
3D.
Oh, you watched it in 3D.
It was only available in 3D.
Do you think if it was not seen in...
It lends itself well to 3D because of the way it's shot. Like, it's
right, I'm saying... But you're saying that it was overly done. So if you just watched it regular...
It was like... No, I don't think regular would have made a difference. It was... You never seen the movie. I realize this. It was like the world of Avatar.
Hmm.
They were trying to make that Atlantis almost.
Hmm.
And it's like...
Yeah, I've never seen it, but I've seen shots of it. It's been out long enough, right?
Right,
I've
you seen, recognize
it's
it.
It's almost like I've seen the movie without seeing it.
And like you said, that clearly is a different planet. It's a different world. So when you're in Atlantis, it's like, I want to feel like that is... I know it's hard to do, but in this day and age, it's possible. Like, okay, underneath in the water, it's going to get dark, and you need to illuminate it. But when you illuminate it, like... It doesn't have to look like you're in a computer game. It's like that same thing of when you went to Oa in Green Lantern. Like, why is your suit lit up? Why is it so bright? You know, we're still underwater.
So, 43 minutes in,
yeah.
I think we know how you feel.
There's parts that I like. There's a charm. But then there's parts where it's like, it was like G.I. Joe. You know... When you watch G.I. Joe, you're like, that is not a real person. It sounds ridiculous because I'm talking about a comic book movie, but when you watch, like, Dark Knight, like, yeah, that person got shot, they're really bleeding, his leg really broke.
Right.
And even though that guy's dressed in a bat costume and he's a clown, I kind of believe it.
You buy it.
I buy it. Mm-hmm. I buy it. This, there's no buying.
There's no buying.
There's no buying at all. And when he does become Aquaman, he looks badass.
How much time goes by before he becomes Aquaman?
It's the climax of the movie where he finds the... like. So when I compared it to Indiana Jones, part of it is like that... You watch Tintin. You know how Tintin travels the world to get clues,
mm-hmm,
and figure out what's next and where we got to go here and put the bottle there and we'll see the map. And it's like that... National Treasure sort of thing.
Yeah,
but he's doing it all over the world with Mira.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool because you get to different locations, but then it's like, why are you eating a flower? There's a scene where they eat, where she, because she's not from Earth. She's
I
not
have so
on
many
that.
Questions about that, but I almost don't care either. Like, it just seems so
and then
ridiculous.
music plays where they're trying to like work up the budding romance, and you're like, this is not, like, it's not what it could be.
All right, Eric Anthony, what's your rating on this movie?
You don't want to hear me talk about it no more.
It's not about not talking, but I just feel like we know how you feel. You didn't like it. Am I wrong in this?
No, I left it telling my friends, like, did you buy tickets already? And they're like, yes. Or, no, I'm going to go watch it. I'm like, yeah, don't. Just wait. Just wait till you watch it here. It's
like, it's nothing to run to the theater for. But is it worth the experience?
No.
Not even?
No. No.
Wow.
It's like...
That's big coming from you. Because you at least try to, like...
Fine. It was below average.
Wow.
A 4.
Whoa. I think that's your lowest rating for a DCU film.
Suicide Squad's worse.
Wait, I don't remember what you rated that. But this just sounds bad. This sounds like a bad grade. This is the type of paper you don't want to give to your father after.
I would... Okay. BVS and Suicide Squad are still the
Suck
worst.
Suck ass.
They're still the worst. They're still the worst.
Yeah.
This one has more of a lighthearted, let's just watch something and not have to care about it feel.
Okay, is that a good thing maybe? Because everyone said Superman was too heavy, he was too sad, he was too dull, he was too dark, and Batman was like this.
But this guy is such a bro, like... This Aquaman is like, it's like Brendan Fraser, like surfer bro, like it's.
Yeah, I don't get that.
That's the when part where it's like.
When I think of Aquaman, like I think like he is the Thor of the oceans.
Right.
He's supposed to be regal and Shakespearean and they're supposed to he's supposed to be some kind of authoritative, smart individual who is worthy of being king. And what you're describing to me is like California dude.
Yeah.
Is that how
That's how he's portrayed. And I don't got a problem with him being like
portrayed differently?
I don't have a problem being portrayed differently or even that Jason Momoa was used to play him. It's more the intellect of how he comes across. Like in the comics, Aquaman is not a guy who is necessarily like he becomes this person, and I know it's gonna take time if they make a sequel or when they make a sequel, because I think this movie's gonna make money. Works into that role, but to me, like, I see Aquaman as Ryan Gosling. Like the way Ryan Gosling carries himself or doubts himself or feels confident in the same moment, like that's Aquaman to me.
That's
how I see him, you know?
In the comics or how it should be on film?
Like, if Aquaman was a real person, I could see Ryan Gosling being that and believing it. Like, I could believe, like, yeah, you'd be king of the sea, but you'd also not want to be because you would doubt yourself or question your self-worth, but when push came to shove, you would do it because you got honor. And Momoa's build and look is very similar to certain Aquaman iterations. But it's like he's Point Break. He's Point Break. Like Keanu Reeves. Do you know what I mean?
That's like, too bad.
Yeah. And Mira, who looks... this is like... I can't believe I'm saying it, but you look too much like the comic book. You look like Ariel come to life. The hair is so red that it looks like it's a wig. Do you know what I mean? Where it's like, she could have just been redhead. Like right. Like Donna from Suits.
Right.
Like she's a natural redhead. Like you can do that and I'll buy that that's who you are. This is like red, like Superman's cape red.
Did this movie have to be pushed back or rescheduled? Was there any hint that this was going to be a flop? I mean a flop in like your opinion. Not everybody must feel that way, but
I don't think so.
You know how they reshot and do this for other DC movies?
As far as I know, I don't think so. No. I haven't heard, I didn't hear any like...
I think you're right. I think it'll still make money because it is a comic book movie. It's new. Christmas time, so right. Everyone's going to have time to go to the movies and put money into it. But I feel like just because a movie makes money doesn't necessarily make it good.
I think, too, like, Black Panther had no business being as good as it was. Not because a African nation can't be that, presented that way. Not because of that. It's just that it's a scientifically advanced nation that is so advanced in things that are almost alien. Do you know, like, it shouldn't, you shouldn't have that world look so tangible. Like, it's a Black Panther, like, we believe this. But they made it so, like, so real when they had the coronation where he fights people over the waterfall. As ridiculous as that was, you believe that that place existed. They made it work.
Well, I think it was respectable because it did take a lot of, like, how do I say this? Like, historical, tribal things. It took from that.
Right.
So as absurd as some things are, in some parts of the world, well, what's odd to us is a ritual and history for others, right?
Right.
So I think that's what made it respectable.
Right. And even with all the special effects that are included in it, all the high-tech, you know, weapons and things of that nature.
I mean, that, I think that was the fantasy part. I think it was all the other things that made it authentic, that brought out the rawness of
right.
the people, the culture, the character itself.
Right. And even, like, the message that they used that movie to make was very, it resonated with you.
It was meaningful.
Very meaningful. They used it, and it was a cultural touchstone.
Mm-hmm.
It was very galvanizing. It brought people together, and it was also very divisive because certain people show their true colors when they're like, I didn't like it because of, you know, all that Black Power stuff. I'm not, like, why do they got to make it so, like, it did that. It accomplished that.
Mm.
And I feel we live in a world of, this is what things were like before Black Panther, and this was after Black Panther. Like, mm-hmm. it's that type of a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel Aquaman could have been that, because Aquaman itself is so ridiculous to have his own movie, considering he's a seaman, and he can swim like, he's Superman underwater, but then you see him on a seahorse, and it's like, why did he have a seahorse? It's so funny to see, like, it hits you, like, this is ridiculous, why are they riding a seahorse, or a crocodile?
Do you feel that way, because it, like, kind of reminds you of, like, The Little Mermaid? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's just as ridiculous that a raccoon, like, I don't know, climbs on a tree and starts shooting people with a metal leg in his left hand. I mean, I don't understand. Like, I'm seeing your point. I hear you. But, like, we've seen ridiculous and fantastical things before.
That's what's tripping me out.
And we're like, oh, that's great.
Right. You know? In this one, I'm like, but if they can swim underwater, why does she need a ship to go underwater? I'm watching. I'm like, why does she have a boat? I'm just trying to figure it out.
It's like us, right? We can walk, but we can also take a car or a bicycle.
True. But so he rescues people. There's a scene where he rescues a group of people in a submarine where Mantis is introduced. Because remember, Mantis is in this too.
Right.
And then Orm, his brother, is in it. And his suit is ridiculous.
Mantis' suit?
It looks like so transformer-like.
What's there to go wrong with it? It's a black tidy whitey and
because
and a helmet,
because they try to make it, it's like
tidy whitey, that's not right, it's a black ballerina suit.
Ugh.
and a Darth Vader helmet,
but
really
they made it so, like, I
okay, it was stupid.
It's just so, like, oh man. And then it's so prefabricated.
Can we just say you hated the movie?
I didn't hate it.
I
didn't hate
what,
it.
Okay, you know what? 54 minutes in, what did you like about the movie?
I liked the...
I think that's what we should have done. What did you like the movie? And then we could have...
I liked imagining that if this movie was animated, it would be great.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I liked how he looked when Aquaman showed up on the screen and you saw him in the actual Aquaman regalia with the trident. That was cool.
There was a puppy golden retriever.
A golden retriever. I liked the different locations that you get to see.
But you said that was too much. Now you like it?
It was too much of, here we are now. This is what this place is called. This is what this place is called. It was like a trope.
Okay, but was it cinematic? Was it scenery pleasing?
When it was on land, yes. When it was underwater.
Too fake.
Yeah, totally too fake. Totally too fake. And then...
And the story? Was there a character? Was there a favorite character? I like this guy.
Good question. That's a good question. No. No, I can't. No, I can't think of a person who I'm like.
That delivery couldn't have been more perfect, and I think I'm dying because your whole facial expression, it's like you were really giving it thought, and I thought I was bringing something out of you. Good question.
This is
good
the question. Thing.
No.
I'm not mad at this movie the way I was with BVS, because I've come to expect. I have come to expect something from DCU. So this is like the same way I left watching Ninja Turtles is how I left watching this.
Which Ninja Turtles?
The new ones.
With Megan Fox?
Yes. Yes. That's the filter, the feel, the effects, the all of it is like that. Does Shredder look cool? Yeah. Bebop and Rocksteady look like Bebop and Rocksteady? Yeah. Does it look ridiculous? Yeah. It looks way too ridiculous.
Well then.
But to just toss popcorn in your face, sure, why not?
Are you gonna purchase this?
I don't think so.
Wow.
I don't think so.
Wow.
Unless it's like a $5 at Walmart, I'm not in a rush to purchase this. I will maybe fall asleep to it on Netflix. I didn't purchase Suicide Squad because it's all spectacle.
Because of me. No, I think you did that on your own. I told you I didn't want Justice League, and for some reason that shit is here. I don't know why.
Because, like I said, Justice League, I tolerated
it. And on Green Lantern. And I was there when you... Yeah, and Green I said, Lantern, don't do it.
Green Lantern was in my more naive days. So here's what I want to come away with. I know I've been talking for an hour. You ask good questions, though. Jeff Johns...
What does he say about this?
This is what I... For those...
He's the one that wears the hat.
He's the one who wears the hat. He's one of my favorite comic book writers. I went out of my way to meet him at Gotham Central. I'm a big Jeff Johns fan, comic book-wise. He's written, like... I collect almost everything he does. His Aquaman was really good. It put Aquaman on the map to be relevant.
Right.
And... Green Lantern, he did the same thing with Green Lantern.
He revived these characters.
He revives these characters that people are like, well, what are you going to do with them? Mm. You know, he put such a good stamp on the Flash. Superman, all of the DC, the Teen Titans.
Okay.
And so his work on this stuff, Hawkman, his work on this stuff becomes like...
Anyone else?
The Justice Society of America. Like, he really makes... Hallmark runs on these titles that they collect in these wonderful editions and reprint and all of that sort of thing, right? They're the ones that they make, like the Justice League movie was very much his Justice League story. The animated Justice League movies that you liked were all Jeff Johns inspired stories.
Got you. Okay.
So like, he's got good work, but when they go into movie form, it's horrible.
So what does he say about this?
I don't know, because he's writing the stories for them. And I feel like I'd like to ask him, maybe you need to not be involved in the movie aspect.
Okay, you said you went out of your way to go see him.
Yes.
Did you see him?
I met him. I met him at Gotham Central.
You have a picture with him.
I have a picture with him.
So why didn't you ask him this then?
There was no time. It was like quick, because I would have. Justice League hadn't even come out. Oh no, I think maybe it had come out. But at the end of it, listen, the movies that come out inspired by his work are not. They have not been good. They have not been good.
So, do you think they're just not working? They're just not. It's not his fault. It's the people who are working with his material that are boshing it.
I'm not sure because he's usually an executive producer or a story. Like, he's written the story for it. He's been involved somehow. He's been on set. He's like, and I'm just thinking to myself, like, you wrote the books. You remember how good the books were. What makes you think this is the translation of your work to the, like, do you like this?
Yeah.
Maybe you like this and you think it's good. It's not good, buddy. The track, and it's not, I'm a big
You're
DC
fan.
I'm a big fan. I've paid my money for those books and I've got a whole shelf of them. But consensus is Justice League was not a good movie. BVS was not a good movie. Now, he didn't do BVS, but Green Lantern was really bad. You know, the Teen Titans television show is not being warmly received.
There's a television show with the Teen Titans?
Yeah.
Really?
The Titans. It's called Titans, yeah. Hmm. And, you know, now Shazam is coming out with, I didn't realize it, the guy from Marvelous Miss Maisel. The doctor that she's dating in the second season, he's Shazam. He's Shazam.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm looking forward to it because I like that guy.
Yeah.
I like that the whole like Billy Batson to Captain Marvel thing. But it's very much based off of his version of it. And I'm like, it's gonna suck now. And I hate feeling that way because his comic book of it is good.
Right.
But now I have this thing
it's
going.
It's like he's developing this reputation of poorly executed
right
stuffs
right
that's too bad
it's just like maybe I'm over having the expectation that the DC films will be a credible counterpart to what Marvel has done. Marvel has made a wonderful tapestry of storytelling in movie format that is second to none, and I think it's far surpasses Star Wars, the Star Trek universe of continuity and all. Like, it, the way they put 20 movies and brought all the characters together in a way that has never felt forced or rushed or, like, it's incredible how they did that. And respected the legacy and classic material of each of those characters. They built a universe. They built a movie universe without using their version of Batman. Because they couldn't. They couldn't use the X-Men. They couldn't use Spider-Man. They couldn't use the Fantastic Four. And they... It's like DC starting a movie universe and they're going with... I don't know. Nobody from the Batman family is available to them. But they gotta build a universe with it. Like, what? And you made it work?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. But...
Well, all that being said,
that was my take from it. So, if you enjoyed Transformers, G.I. Joe, Ninja Turtles, you'll
like
it.
This is the movie for you.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I'm not trying to be sarcastic or rude. You'll have a good time. Go in there with those expectations, and you'll be happy.
So, you think the majority of people that don't have a comic book history or appreciation would like this movie, but those that have a better understanding of the character and the history and appreciation for all that jazz, they're going to be disappointed?
I think dialogue is very bad. Very clunky dialogue. That's what makes this movie... That's the worst part of this movie. How bad the dialogue is.
Right.
It's just so contrived and like...
So where is that in all the reviews that you read?
That was there. That was in a couple of reviews are like, it's the dialogue is the weakest part, but the director looks like he had a wonderful time making it. It's full of vibrancy and adventure, and I'm like, okay, well, like, it's a comic book movie.
So
I'm not expecting Shakespeare.
It's really up to the person who watches it.
Yeah, but the way it looks, the way it feels, the effects to it, it's more Star Wars prequel.
It sounds like if I was 8 years old.
Yes, great.
I would love it.
Great, it'd be great. Yes. For sure. For sure.
Hmm.
But I think when you see Aquaman, I was going to say this before when we were talking about, I know I'm going on a bit, but the way Black Panther was able to deal with social issues, Aquaman could deal with global issues. Mm-hmm. Because it's a relationship of the sea and the land.
Yeah, it could have been like an eco-addressed thing. if it wanted to take it there and speak on a matter, especially now, because there's those doubters of global warming and whatnot, like, they could have taken it there.
They address it a little bit.
Do they?
They address it a little bit. Okay. But not in a way where you leave thinking, you see, that's what you can, like,
there's something you can glean from this.
Not, and it didn't have to be heavy-handed.
No. But no, it doesn't always have to.
It doesn't have to be heavy-handed.
But those little...
But it's like, some people feel the last scene in Black Panther where Killmonger is dying and he's holding him with the sun setting. They're like, that's too heavy-handed. That's so like, oh, why do they always got to go back to talking about the slaves and dying in the water? And I'm like, because... That's important.
That really happened.
That happened to their history,
and it's still happening. Yeah, in like, a way. Like, yeah, come on.
You're gonna hear that because it's still an issue.
Yeah, it's still a problem. You know,
there's still people who are marching with torches.
Right.
Okay. So, it's poetic, and it makes you sit and think.
Right.
And so you could have a moment.
It
like
wasn't
that.
Like a whole thing throughout the movie where it's like that was his whole dialogue.
No, but it was a moment was a where you moment, pay. Yeah.
And
yeah.
It enhance the overall story.
Yes, you've got a king of Africa with a prince of Africa making commentary on mm-hmm. something that is historical.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
So in this case, I felt like this is the perfect movie where you can address the relationship and importance of the sea to land and how much we're ruining what's in the water
mm-hmm.
that does affect us. And that disrespect of those things, not appreciating the power of one and the other and how they need to be together.
Does he ever go to, with all the globetrotting that he does he ever like, there's never, I haven't read enough Aquaman material to say this, but
neither
it,
have
it
I.
seems like what I have read, it's always like tropic fishes. I've never come across any material where he's like in the Atlantic, what is it? The Arctic. Where there's like the whales and the polar bears and the penguins and like those are ocean animals.
Yeah.
Is that ever introduced in this movie? Because I see him in the snow in a trailer with a horse. Or is that Batman?
That's Justice League.
Oh, okay. But anyway, does he ever with all the planet with going everywhere? He never goes and sees a.
No, he doesn't go to the polar ice caps. Nothing like that.
Does that ever happen in the comics?
I wouldn't know. I haven't
read
enough.
Penguins ever respond to him?
No, penguins aren't fish.
No, they're not fish, but they're in the water just as much.
That's a good question.
Eh?
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know if they need to have gills. I don't know if they need to have gills or be able to breathe under, like, swim. I don't know. Seals would, yeah.
So why seals and not penguins?
I'm not sure. Penguin's a bird. I don't know.
And seals like a dog.
Like a dog. I don't know. So yeah, I was thinking like this could be a movie that could be real powerful to the.
But it didn't execute that.
It didn't.
Did it pull at any heartstrings?
Put it this way. It seems as though the DC universe uses the mother figure to be the reason why people become friends.
Yes. I'm over that.
Yeah, that happened again. That's the resolution to this movie.
Boo.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's two thumbs down.
Yeah. And I was like, why are they always using this? Like, what? This one makes more sense because it's two brothers fighting. So it makes sense.
Okay.
But it's like because it was done so badly in something else that it's like, oh, that's just like that.
It's terrible by association.
And the dialogue delivery.
Hi, puppy. Hello.
Speaking of seals.
I just felt this thing on my back. Hi.
Should we wrap it up?
Hey, man, I think we know after an hour and 9 minutes that you're probably not that content with this movie. Probably. We're still not sure, but it's kind of well that was a downer, sorry folks.
And that's why I said at the beginning I am biased towards it, so I want like my I don't want to come across like I hate it. It's
no, I think, and of course I'm biased, but I think you gave reasons as to why. Like, it wasn't like I just hate it and that's it. That's what I do.
Yeah. So, like, I went into the BVS review, I always bring that up, with all this vitriol, because I waited 30 plus years for that to happen. I had so much invested in, like, how great I wanted this to be. I didn't expect Aquaman to be a masterpiece, but I'm like, oh, it's, we're in that territory now. Like, these movies are Transformers now.
Yeah.
Whereas when I watch Marvel, I'm like, this is...
Oh, there's friendship. There's a relationship. There's growth. There's drama. There's something.
Yeah, these, and I'm not saying that Marvel movies should win Oscars, but they are impactful movies.
Mm-hmm.
They make a statement, and they resonate with people in the way that each of those movies should.
So I don't remember if you answered this already. Are you still biased towards DC? What? Seeing as they'll always be compared, Marvel and DC.
Oh, I'm very comfortable saying, if someone were to ask me, DC or Marvel, I would say Marvel.
You heard it here first, yeah. Folks. Yeah. Eric Anthony says.
I've switched teams.
Marvel.
I've switched teams.
Well, thank you for your review and for your input. I think we all learned a lot, taking us to school. Get it? Like,
school of fish?
Yeah.
You're so clever.
And we're done here.
It's funny seeing a person who can swim underwater ride a seahorse. Like, it's funny.
Well.
And then there was this thing where they would come, like, the army that's given to Black Mantis to hunt down, because he's in concert with, like, the other guy in Atlantis. So they come onto land.
With Orm,
yeah. So they come onto land, and, like, all the Atlanteans can breathe and also swim underwater.
But Black Mantis keeps his helmet on?
He keeps his helmet on because he got the power, like, the laser things, whatever. But the people who help him, they got, like, these suits on, these suits of armor. And inside the suits, they're, like, in a little fishbowl in their mask, like, to keep them hydrated because they need water.
Okay.
Right? So... they're from Atlantis, so the way you beat them is you punch the glass out, and they're like, like, they start to suffocate because they got no water. I'm like, but what about Aquaman and the chick? What about them? What, like, maybe I don't know what I'm talking about.
Maybe you don't, but that
it
is
would just
a,
like,
that's a legitimate observation.
Yeah, like
it works here, but it doesn't work there, and
how
they're
come
the same.
He can come on the land, but you need a water mask.
You're pointing so intently.
It was just questions. I'm like, I don't understand. If you can swim like Superman underwater, like, Superman doesn't use a plane. Even he flies.
Well, Wonder Woman uses a plane.
I don't get it.
Well, when she needs to, you know, give a ride, she's an Uber.
It's like Flash having a car. You can. You run fast. You'd be faster than a Ferrari.
But it's an invisible plane. Maybe she's just trying to be, like, covert about it. Because if she flies on her own, you can see her.
But why
in her plane, you can't see her.
Why do you need a boat spaceship?
And I don't know. This is the end of the episode. Right. Eric Anthony digresses.
This is not, at least we didn't go as long as we did for Avengers. We went 2 hours for Avengers.
No, we didn't.
Yeah.
We did.
Infinity War, because it was so good. So if you want to hear us talk, wax rhapsodic about things, listen to the Avengers Infinity War, where I gave it a 10 out of 10. Spoilers.
Did you really?
I did.
What did I give it?
High. You gave it high. You gave it like 8.5.
That's pretty decent.
Yeah, I gave it 10.
Guys, it's been a slice.
Thanks for coming back. And not making me talk about this by myself for an hour.
Well, you already went to the movies by yourself. I was going to let you do this by yourself.
Yeah.
And, abdi, that's all, folks.
If you got to do the housekeeping.
What?
Housekeeping. If you want to email us to cavesolitude@outlook.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Follow us on Facebook. Because when people email us, we read it on the show.
We do read it on the show. So email us.
Yeah. And don't forget to listen to some of the other shows that I've been featured on. And Daft J's been featured on Comic Shenanigans as well as Fastball Special. And I'm going to be appearing on another podcast in a little while.
What?
We'll announce it when it happens.
Amazing.
Thanks, Daft J.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we will be back soon.
I don't even know.